Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
On a Wednesday night, we get rolling with a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today, taking you for the next 2 hours until 8 o'clock this evening. As always, if you want to chime in, multiple ways to get connected with the program, you can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will address those as we go along through the program tonight. I mentioned this yesterday on the show because I know there were a lot of people yesterday who really wanted to give a reaction to the Heimblum press conference, the exclusive interview that John Rooney, the voice of the Cardinals, did with Heim that we ran on this show, my conversation that I had with Heim, like all that stuff. And yesterday was more a day of taking it in, listening to what was being said. Today is more that moment, if you want it to be. Today's the more the moment to react to it. So we are going to take some time. We do have some guests on the show today scheduled to be on with us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk with Bernie Miklas. Of course, he's a big part of what we do here at KMOX, also part of the team at STL Sports Central and doing the Cardinal Territory show alongside of Katie Wu. We're going to talk with Kaylin Kyle, part of the team with Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. She's going to join us at about 6:35 in the next hour. At about 7:20, Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today will join us to talk Cardinals baseball. So we'll have maybe some time at the end of this hour, certainly some time in the next hour to take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets. And I'll be interested to know what you're feeling. And I mentioned this yesterday. I'll mention it again. Yesterday was an awesome day for Heimblum. Yesterday was a really, really good day in his life. And no matter what, like, Heim's a super good dude. Super good guy. Before I'd even met him, and I talked to people that I know that covered him in Boston, like, that was just what I heard. Like, how good and genuine of a human being Heimblum is. And from all my interactions with him yesterday and before yesterday, seemed that way. So I was just, from like a human standpoint, I'm not trying to, this is going to sound like I'm shaming people. I'm not attempting to shame people. That's not the goal here, but it's going to sound like it. So I don't know. I just felt bad that yesterday got hijacked to the, oh, Oliver Marmol is back. And that's going to be what we take away from this whole thing, which we knew that Ollie was going to be back. We knew. I saw messages, we got phone calls, we got everything from people saying, I don't think Ollie's going to be back. I think Heim's going to fire Ollie. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And I could say I disagree. I don't see it coming that way. I'm pretty sure Ollie's going to be back. This isn't the moment for a managerial change. And it turned out that was right. But for people to turn the news of yesterday into a just focusing on who the club's manager is going to be for the near future, I was bummed that what gets lost in all of that is what this means for the long term. And that's what I want to hear from people today on, because I get it. I get that there is, I don't know if it's a vocal minority or a majority of people who don't like Oliver Marmol. I think it's a vocal minority, but I don't think it's a small minority. I don't think we're talking like 2% of the fan base. So that would be, I'd be dumb if I thought that. I'm smart enough to know that these loud voices that are coming from all over the place, it's not a tiny minority, but I still think it's less than 50%. I still think less than 50% of Cardinals fans really, really dislike Oliver Marmol. But I don't know what the number is, but the number, it's still a sizable number. It's not nothing. I'm not being dismissive of who those people are and their numbers. And it is an extreme emotional pull on them of how much they dislike him. I get it. Okay. Like I know you're out there, but that doesn't mean that meaningful changes in the organization are not happening. No matter, and we've thrown all the information out at you, right? We've thrown it at you. Marmol's got a better record than Tony La Russa through their first 3 years, and Kevin talked about this earlier. When you take Tony's first 3 years in St. Louis and the final 3 years in Oakland, and just look at 6 years of basically having a losing, like, all this stuff is true. Like, when you can compare Ollie to a lot of great managers, and you can make the argument that his early part of his career very similar to other individuals' early parts of their careers. Even that being said, I think everybody understands that no matter how good or no matter how not good your manager is, you win and lose most ball games based off how good your roster is, right? I'm not ignoring the fact that a manager can impact winning and losing. They can. Of course they can. If they didn't, then you wouldn't have managers. They can. And my belief, which a lot of people disagree with, my belief is that Ali helps the Cardinals win more games than he helps them lose. There's people who hear me say that and they just start itching uncontrollably because they can't believe those words are coming out of somebody's mouth. Whereas, hey, you know what? I see some of the stuff said about Ali on the other side of the spectrum and I go, how can anybody believe that? So we're like-minded in our opposition to the other person's views. Cool. The roster's going to change. The player development is going to change. The focus on the skill sets of the players who are going to be on the roster are going to be changing. So whether you love Oliver Marmol or whether you hate Oliver Marmol, I think we all need to be open and accepting of the fact that things are changing in this organization. That Chaim Bloom and John Mozeliak are not that similar in the way that they're going to want to build a baseball team. And if you win and lose most games based off the talent on the roster, I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't think this is an overnight fix. I don't think they're winning a World Series next year. But I do think they're going to win another World Series, and I think it's going to happen under Chaim Bloom, and I think it's going to be a whole lot of fun once they get this thing rolling along. No matter who your manager is, those things happening are going to impact the team a lot, whereas who your manager is will have less of an impact than those other things. We'll continue this discussion as we go along through the show today. If you want to chime in, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, that's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. You can leave a comment in the video chat if you're watching on the stream. Up next, we talk with Bernie Miklas. He's with us in just a moment as we roll on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are efforting Bernie Miklas. Hopefully we'll have him on here in the next moment or so. We are taking you through 8 o'clock this evening. We've been monitoring what's going on in the Major League Baseball playoffs, in case you have not seen. 4 games today, and certainly good for baseball when a Game 3 is forced, and that's what happened in both series so far. Padres beat the Cubs 3-0, so a third game tomorrow. Guardians beat the Tigers 6-1, game 3 winner take all tomorrow. Red Sox Yankees right now 2-2, and the fifth tonight, the Reds and Dodgers are going to play in Los Angeles. Got a text message from 314, says about Oliver Marmol. Nobody likes a yes man, He can't be trusted to stand up to upper management. The last manager did that, and see what happened. All right. I disagree because, oh, you know what? I will address this text message in a moment. I believe, do we have Bernie Miklas available? We were efforting him. Bernie says he is connected. Bernie, are you there? Do we have you? We're not hearing you, Bernie. So you know what? We'll give you a call real quick and we'll get you on via phone. If you can, I think Bernie can hear me, but I can't hear him. So we'll just call Bernie and we'll get him on here in just a moment or so. So just a quick response to that. Ollie saw the guy in front of him, who I think Oliver Marmol and Mike Schilt are very like-minded and probably their issues that happened inside the organization. And Ollie saw the guy before him get fired. So he probably took a different stance. But this was a guy that basically after every start that Eric Fetty made for a while was basically calling for changes to be made and for Michael McGreevy to be called up, doing that openly. So if you didn't recognize that and you didn't see the public nature of basically going against your bosses a little bit, I disagree with that. And I think a lot of stuff is done behind closed doors that you don't see. So he wasn't going to go to the extent that he was going to lose his job. But he, I think there were some differences there that that he dealt with. All right, let's bring Bernie Miklas on. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
Hey, I'm good, man. Good to be with you as always, man.
Well, I've been thinking about this because I've been disappointed that a really cool day for the organization and a really cool day for Chaim Bloom was turned into a percentage of the Cardinals fan base, a vocal minority, but a large, still a large, not a tiny minority. And a very loud minority being very upset that Oliver Marmol is going to return, even though we saw that coming. And I was thinking about you because you have been in this market for so long. Have you ever experienced a situation where basically everybody who like covers the Cardinals and is around the Cardinals, like we all see what Oliver Marmol is doing and we like Oliver Marmol. We think he's the right guy, not that he's perfect, but we see like the people around him are very much in favor of him being back, yet so much of the fan base is so vehemently against it. Have you ever seen that dynamic play out in the city as much as it is with Ollie?
Well, it's funny because, you know, there's a stat that I always put out there and a lot, and people ignore it because the haters, and listen, they just hate Marmol for reasons that have really nothing or very little to do with baseball. He's an easy punching bag because John Mozeliak hired him. I mean, that's the bottom line. Even though Ollie Marmol has been a Cardinal his entire professional life, starting in 2007, 19 years as a Cardinal, you'd think that that would be some respect, but it's like, oh, he didn't deserve the job. He took the same path to the manager's job that Mike Schilt took, same exact path, working his way up through the minors, coach at the major league level. But yet, Ollie is viewed as some kind of flunky who, you know, didn't he didn't somehow, you know, earn the job. Well, he only got the job because they fired Schilt. Yeah, and how did Mike Schilt get the job? Geniuses, because they fired Mike Matheny. So I'm not sure what the difference is or what kind of point you're even making there. His first 4 years as the Cardinals manager, Ollie Marmol has got a 502 winning percentage. Tony La Russa's first 4 years as Cardinal manager had a 493 winning percentage. But yet, Marmol gets no respect, not even consideration for respect, even though his first 4 years here as a manager, compared to Tony La Russa, who had an unbelievable amount of talent on that roster for the first 4 years, even though Ollie Marmol's teams won more games and had a higher winning percentage. But yet, does this matter to the hate mob? No. Because this isn't about facts. This isn't about the fact that the last 2 years, the Cardinals, I always write and talk about how Ollie Marmol does a brilliant job with the bullpen. And as the kids say, I got the receipts. I mean, I'm a research nut. Everybody knows that. And the Cardinals' bullpen performance the last 2 years is fantastic. In fact, based on my research, they've never had a two-year period where the bullpen was so good. Now, that stuff isn't accidental. That stuff just doesn't happen. You have to have a manager who knows what he's doing with it. And Ollie Marmol, if people pay attention, which sometimes I wonder if they do because they're on Twitter or X all the time trying to think of some snark. You know, they're not actually watching the games. But the research I've been doing, there's never been a Cardinal bullpen like in back-to-back years that was this good over a two-year period. And, you know, I'm privy to some other information I can't share about, you know, I won't even get into it, but there's an independent evaluator who does this incredibly comprehensive deep dive on how teams use their bullpens, whether they're doing it right. And the last 2 years, the Cardinals have been in the top two. But yet, if you ask any of these haters, they'll just say, what are you talking about? He sucks. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's doing with the bullpen. Oh, so I guess those guys just decided when, you know, all the individual relievers, I guess they decided to put themselves in or what? It's just ridiculous. So I just think, and I heard the text message you got, you know, I'm just, all that is a lazy narrative.
Yeah.
He's a puppet. He doesn't, challenge management. He challenges management all the time.
Yep.
And the other thing is that the people that say that about any manager, they're profoundly ignorant because they don't realize or they won't accept that the manager's job in Major League Baseball has changed substantially and dramatically. It's more of a collaboration, the all-powerful, all-knowing, get out of my way, I'm running everything. Those managers don't exist anymore. What is it about this market where, you know, everything is like 1966 or whatever? You know? I mean, Bruce Bochy, when he came out of retirement, he took the job in Texas and he promised them that he would, you know, buy in analytics and he would work closely with Chris Young. And he wouldn't have, like, the power that he had in San Francisco. The job has changed. So what is wrong with these people that are just, like, years and years and years behind how the manager's job works now? And, you know, we had this thing on the Gas House Gang where Ali Marmol was basically using the Gas House Gang to send messages and basically say, well, I don't make the roster decisions. We want McGreevy up here. Mm-hmm. If that's not challenging your boss, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
How many major league managers go on the rights holder station like two or three times and make it clear he's not happy that Michael McGreevy isn't up here? And he makes it a point to let everyone know, well, I don't make decisions on the roster. That's not my authority. And by the way, that applies to every manager in baseball. So what? Oh, but he doesn't push back on management? Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, well, good point. He only goes on Campbell X like three times during the season to make it clear he wants McGreevy and he's frustrated he doesn't have him.
Yeah.
He's never challenged anybody. Yeah. People are lazy, and it just, you got to come up with a better narrative. You got to be more informed. Then I'll take your opinion seriously.
We're 30 or so hours post the Heimblum presser. I know you've probably spent some time kind of reflecting upon what was heard. We did an immediate reaction yesterday, but as some hours have passed since then, and you have done that reflection, is there anything that's kind of stuck with you even more?
Well, I'm going to have to go back in my history, and I did a video about this today. You know, when I heard Heimblum talk about, you know, how this thing's going to work, and, you know, there were several choice excerpts, and I'm sure you played all of them. In fact, I know you did, but I don't have time to read them, and you know what I'm talking about. The way he laid out his vision and, like, what's important, you know, not going to take shortcuts, no doing these things for short-term gains. It's all about long-term. Every decision will be what's best long-term for the Cardinals. It was music to my ears because it's exactly what the Cardinals want. And anybody that would criticize that, what they're saying is that they're okay with the way things have been operating around here. Contradiction, anyone? Anyway, they need this kind of fresh start. But what struck me is it resonated with me because when Bill DeWitt hired Jeff Luhnow in the early aughts and nobody understood what he was doing, and I was confused, but I wanted to at least try to find out. I met with Bill DeWitt for 2 hours, and he laid out exactly why he brought in Jeff Luhnow. And that vision about how you really need to build a franchise or sustain winning is the same exact stuff that Heimblum's going to emphasize. And so to me, Bill, like I put the title, at least on social media, of my videos, like Bill DeWitt goes back to the future, hires Heimblum, ideal fit for the job, with echoes of Jeff Luhnow. And it is. I mean, Bill DeWitt, I said this all last year and a half, whatever. He brought Jeff Luhnow in, and he revolutionized the way the Cardinals were drafting and developing and all, analytics for the first time, all that stuff. They'd never done that before, and he helped put them on top. He gave them an edge with that. And I said, you know, DeWitt's done this before, and I think he'll do it again. And he, well, say hello to Hein Bloom. He's gone back in time. He said, well, listen, I did it once. We're going to do it again. We just got to find the right guy. And he found the right guy who's very strong in player development, finding value on the market, developing young players, you know, just a flow, as he said, of good young talent. So I think Bill DeWitt actually went back to his past to try to save the future, if that makes sense.
No,
and I really mean that. I really mean that.
Yeah, I think it makes total sense, and I hope to continue kind of down that line of, you know, conversation here throughout the offseason as we see things. Bernie, always appreciate you taking a few moments with us before we let you go. I know you've got something to share when it comes to Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, absolutely. See, you got me gone, man. You got me wound up. I was kind of sleepy before I came on here today. So anyway, I love it. I'm only kidding you. Bernie Miklas here on behalf of Saliga Heating and Cooling. It's a Daikin Comfort dealer. We have been clients of Saliga since I was going to say St. Louis families have been calling Saliga since 1927. We're kind of late to this because we've only been a Saliga client for like the last 17 years. And Dan Saliga, fourth generation owner operator, I love the family business. They're so proud of it. Dan Saliga is upholding these very high standards. He's improved it through time, you know, with like the latest in technology and the latest in, you know, how to repair things and how new equipment that does different things that maybe 20, 30 years ago didn't exist. He keeps it up to date. But what we have found is that they always look for low-cost solutions to save us money. They don't start with trying to pitch something really expensive, because if they don't think we need something really expensive, they say, no, you don't need that. This will solve the problem, and it's usually something that is relatively inexpensive. And so we trust their integrity, their honesty, their professionalism, their knowledge, the way they are when they're in your home, total class. It's just a first-rate business, first-class business. And I also, quick before I go, I recommend Saliga's Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan that's going to save you money by extending the life of your current equipment. So to get more information, you can go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. The phone number's there. But for all they do to find out more, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Thank you.
It's Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We're going to move away from our baseball conversation for just a few minutes, but we're going to jump back in with that in a little while, as we'll take you till 8 o'clock this evening. Want to talk a little City SC for just a moment, as they're coming off a 3-0 loss against LAFC this past weekend, and they're going to be on the road to take on Austin coming up. We're very happy to welcome on to the program. She's part of the team at Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, working as a host and analyst. She is Kaylin Kyle. You follow her on Twitter at KAYLYNKYLE. Kaylin, thanks so much for taking a few moments with us today. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so this is a City team that seemingly was kind of on a little bit of a roll with two straight wins, but then they hit a 3-0 loss against LAFC this past weekend, and it feels like that was just a chance to kind of see the talent deficit between a team like City and a team like LAFC that's got some really good players at the top of their roster.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you look at the roster and you look at your DP signings, and it's no disrespect to the DP signings at St. Louis, but it is obviously very, very different. You bring in a Son, you bring in, you know, your Denny Bouangas, and you see how electric their attack. I think they have 17 goals in the last consecutive goals for their team. So it is alarming and electric what they're doing there. And then you are taking on an Austin side this coming Saturday that's obviously playing in the U.S. Open Cup final against Nashville tonight. So they're, you know, they're going to throw everything at that because it's a chance for a trophy. You've already been eliminated. So it's a difficult situation in St. Louis, but it's also a great point as well, because it's one of the city markets here in North America. And it's been nice for me as a Canadian kind of learning about St. Louis and the geographic and how many players have come from St. Louis, and almost, I know people call it the soccer capital of America. And then just seeing, you know, the stadium and the fan support through the good, bad, and ugly. You guys have such a good thing going. You just need a deeper squad in order to be, you know, really competitive here in Major League Soccer. And I think a lot of teams in MLS are starting to see that. I mean, you look at the East, you look at the West, you look at the top six teams, it's so close right now. I mean, maybe even top nine teams. We saw Chicago last night dominate Inter Miami in a 5-3 win, but it's really proving and showing, you know, when you get your DPs right, when you get your town players right, and you get your middle of your roster right, it's you can be so competitive here in Major League Soccer.
It's really good to hear that what you said about the city and about the market, even though that this is two straight years of the product not being that good. How appealing can that be, as this is an organization right now that's going to be looking to add players, looking to add key pieces in the organization, whether they bring in a head coach from the outside or keep Critchley, they're still looking for a sporting director. Just the reputation that goes along with this market and the fans and everything, how appealing is that to individuals coming in?
Huge. I mean, we talked to Taylor Twellman a lot. He's obviously, you know, loves St. Louis and loves what you guys are creating there. And I was really lucky. It was probably a year and a half ago, I got to talk to one of your owners from St. Louis. She was amazing. And just what they entail about not only the club. Yes, they're passionate about football. Yes, they're passionate about soccer. But they really want to create a family dynamic. And I think that is so important. You look at some of the most successful teams here in Major League Soccer. And it's first and foremost, yes, you can sign these big players. But if they don't feel comfortable as if it's a family, it's really hard to succeed. And I think, you know, you're seeing that with Denny Bouanga in LAFC. You're seeing that with Thomas Mueller with the Vancouver Whitecaps. You bring in a phenomenal coach that instills confidence in these players and instills this family dynamic, and you get the best out of these players, because sometimes you don't see that with European talent. What they come over to North America, it's really difficult. You're seeing it with Anders Dreyer in San Diego as well. He never even came to North America, first and foremost. The first time he touched down here is when he signed actually with the team. But when you can have a GM, you can create a culture, you have a great coaching staff that, you know, creates this family dynamic in and behind these players. These players, again, I feel like we have to remind each other that these are humans at the end of the day. Yes, they're on these multi-million dollar contracts, they're on great contracts here in Major League Soccer. But at the end of the day, you're only going to be as good as your teammate, and you're only going to be as good as your head coach and manager and GM and sporting director and the tea lady that serves you your dinner and breakfast.
Your soccer background is incredible. Canadian national team, 101 international appearances. You also played in the NWSL, and I wasn't planning on talking about this, but when I read your bio and saw that, I wanted to, because St. Louis has been rumored as win the NWSL, and for people listening who don't know, that's the women's, you know, professional league for soccer in North America, the United States. St. Louis has been rumored as maybe an expansion team or expansion market for that league. Having the familiarity with the league that you do you feel like that would be a good fit?
Take me out of retirement. I'd sign there any day of the week. If you want a 37-year-old, my birthday's on Monday. No problem whatsoever. 100%. I think it's an absolute no-brainer. You look at the training facility for the men's. You look at the stadium for the men's. It's in Soccer City. It's downtown. It's connected. And speaking to a couple of the players on St. Louis men's team, they're like, it's unbelievable what they've done in a really short amount of time here to create this amazing professional culture and dynamic. So to get a women's team, obviously I'm a huge supporter of the Women's League and huge supporter of the city's getting it right, because I don't like when people just buy in to own a women's team to be like, yeah, I own a women's team. You want people that are passionate about women's sport, passionate about, you know, female athletes, and especially growing the game here in the NWSL, and you're seeing it grow significantly. You look at Kansas City Current, for example, you get big time owners that give you your first ever female specific soccer stadium. And you don't necessarily need to do that in order to be successful. But look at how successful they are in the short amount of time. You know, it's that culture that I always talk about. You instill a great culture in a club, and genuinely you can have a mediocre team and go on to win it, because it's players wanting to fight for one another. So hell yes, St. Louis, get a women's team. I'll be there first game of the season.
Love it. Love that. Just a couple games left in the regular season, and then before we know it, we're going to see MLS postseason. A lot of people in St. Louis going to be kind of neutral observers, but they can do it via Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. Give a plug for everything you guys have going on, because just because the city season is going to be over soon doesn't mean that it's when you guys really gear up and start doing some even more special things.
Look, I'm extremely lucky to be in a job that you can go in and you genuinely love. I know a lot of people in the world aren't given that opportunity. I'm so grateful, and it has to do with my colleagues. Obviously, we have Kevin Egan, Sasha Kleshton, Bradley Wright-Phillips, Dax McCarty, and everyone behind the screens and the TVs making us look good. But we make it fun, like 360. We have banter. We take the piss out of one another. I mean, me and Sasha are like an old married couple. We rip into one of each other. Me and B are best friends. Dax is like the new boy in town. He's, you know, bottom of MLS 360 Golden Boot right now. If you don't know what that is, basically we pick a goal scorer every match day to see who scores, top of the leader. Anyways, we win a trophy at the end of the year. And then Kevin Egan's like our dad. So you tune into 360. We have like behind the scenes stuff. We have player interviews. We have This Is MLS Midweek with Kevin, Sasha, and Bradley Wright Phillips that, you know, interview a player or a coach every week. That's on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. And then we're going to be doing some cool little features heading into the FIFA Club World Cup, or sorry, excuse me, the FIFA World Cup in 2026 with a lot of American Canadians that are already playing in the league. So that's something as well to be looking forward to on MLS Season Pass.
Kaylin, great to get to know you a little bit. Thank you so much for taking this time, and hopefully we can chat again down the line.
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Very good. That's Kaylin Kyle joining us from Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. Works as an analyst on the MLS 360 show. We'll jump back into baseball. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it on KMOX. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we're going to open up the phone lines at 314-436-7900. If you want to chime in on what you heard from Haim yesterday, chime on Haim. How about that? That could be like a segment. It's time to chime on Haim. Or Haim chimes. I was on with Chris and Amy the other day, and we were doing word plays on Haim, because everybody does It's Haim Time, which Kyle Sixt is here. I saw that our good friend Jim the Cat Hayes from FanDuel Sports Network Midwest put out a social media message today indicating that he was the first one to go with It's Haim Time, and he is going to aggressively pursue, from a legal standpoint, people who use that term that he has a trademark on.
There you go, Mr. Cat. Grab that trademark.
Yeah, so I tweeted it. Like I felt a little bit attacked in the moment, because yesterday I took a picture of Haim Bloom and tweeted it out and said, it's Haim Time. Mm. So is he coming at me?
He might be.
Is he coming at me? I don't know. I've said this a million times, but for those who have not heard, this is my favorite one. The folks in Boston, like the fans who loved Haim Bloom and were just like Haim Bloom truthers, for lack of a better term, they were known as the Bloominati.
Ooh.
I think that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. I think it was the day after the Cardinals season ended, or maybe it was our Thursday one going into the, it was the day after they got eliminated from playoff contention. My Chris and Amy hit was literally just us spending time going with various plays on Haim Bloom's name.
That's awesome. I'll do some thinking.
Okay. Yeah. So, and hopefully, you know, John Mozeliak was very gracious with his time here to KMOX and all media outlets for that matter. He was out there. I would expect it to largely be the same with Haim, so we can, you know, if we have segments with him, we can maybe, you know, bill him like that.
Yeah, a little test trial, see what he likes.
Speaking of that, and again, I'm not just like trying to attack people. That's not what I'm doing, but I get frustrated. I need to do something. So I'm an admin on the KMOX Sports Facebook account, like most people, so that way I can post or whatever on there. I have an Apple Watch. So when people like reply to stuff on KMOX Sports, my watch goes off. It's terrible, Kyle. It's terrible. My entire life is my watch going off and me seeing, you know, the first 12 words of a comment, and I know where it's going, and it just wears it. I really need to turn these notifications off.
Matt, for your sanity, yes. You need to turn those notifications
off. It's terrible. It is so bad. So it's just constant. Yesterday, I was actually, do you have an Apple Watch?
I do not.
Okay, I'm really, so on like from a fitness standpoint, you try to close your rings is what it's called, where you get a certain amount of calories every day, and a certain amount of stand hours, and a certain amount of exercise minutes and things like that. I'm really, really big into closing my rings. I have a streak going that's impressive. So I was actually, we were getting so many comments on the Facebook page yesterday. I was actually worried that my Apple Watch was going to lose power before I could get home and that I would not close my rings because the watch wouldn't be able to recognize my movement and things like that. That was my worry yesterday. Maybe I worry about the wrong things.
Chill out, people.
But yeah, so that was, I was going somewhere. Oh, yeah, this is where I'm going. Real quickly, I saw a lot of people say on social media coming at us here at CamelX, oh, you're only saying nice things about Oliver Marmol because you want to keep him come showing up to Gas House Gang every Tuesday. That's the only reason you do it. That's not true. A, that's not true. B, we'd be okay. We would be okay if Ollie did not show up every Tuesday for Gas House Gang during the season. It would be a bummer. We love having him. It's really, really cool. I think it's great for the fans. But our livelihood here at KMOX, with all due respect, Oliver Marmol is not connected to his 30 minutes every Tuesday during the season. We would be okay. And then the third thing, and just kind of an insight, Ollie actually pushes for tougher questions during those Tuesday conversations. And this is, I'm being 100% genuine, 100% honest on this. I know for a fact that he does not want those conversations to be just softball after softball after softball thrown at him. He wants to explain the tough decisions. He wants to go through everything. He wants to be challenged. And that is essentially what he asked of us here at KMOX going into that. So the idea that we're not asking tough questions. He wants the tough questions. That's what the man wants. And I think we did a pretty good job of that on Tuesdays. More after the 7 o'clock news. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at as we get into hour number two of the program. Daniel Guerrero is going to join us in about 15 minutes. Cardinals beat writer with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. We'll get his thoughts on what we all saw and heard yesterday at the Hein Bloom press conference. This is the opportunity for you to chime in. We'll kind of split it up. So this segment and then the segment after we talk with Daniel. If you've got thoughts, we'll open up the phone lines, the text message line, tweets, everything. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air, or you can leave a comment on the video chat. And I've been wanting to get to this. We finally have. Again, yesterday wasn't really the day for it because we just had so much content from Hein Bloom, but we finally do have time now. So whatever your reactions are to what we heard from Hein yesterday, this is the chance to get in here. I got a couple notes on Jordan Walker. So Verla sent in a message on the video stream, says, still being committed to Walker was the worst thing to come out of the press conference. I am good with the rest of it. And then we got a text message from the 618 that said, I think the plan will be for Walker to spend a whole lot of time in Memphis next year. He only has one option year left, and it's probably not a coincidence that they let him struggle up here all season long instead of sending him down and burning the last option. I don't think they're ready to give up on him, but they had to bite the bullet this year if they wanted flexibility next year. Yeah, so those two kind of interesting points on Walker. And Verlis, this is why you remain committed, like in air quotes. This is why, when I say committed, I mean you don't get him out of the organization. When I say committed, it doesn't mean he has a job on the big league roster next year. This is why you do that. he still has the opportunity, if he ever figures it out, to be a profoundly impactful baseball player. And I know people, some people just don't want to hear that, because what we watched this year was a bad baseball player. Jordan Walker had a bad year. And it wasn't just, like, some guys have bad years hitting, but they do other things well. If we're being blunt and honest, Jordan Walker didn't do much of anything well this year. He had periods of time where the at-bats looked better, and that is essentially the nicest thing I can say about the year that Walker had. And I'm not trying to beat up on the guy. I'm not trying to take shots at him. I'm just, the numbers are what the numbers are. He had a terrible offensive season, and he wasn't any good in the outfield defensively, and seemingly he got worse in the outfield as the season went along. So I understand people who just watch the year go along and say, this is somebody that I don't want to see being here. But when you get under the hood a little bit and you see all the parts that could potentially make him a really impactful player, how hard he hits the ball, bat speed, just all that, you can't just like give up on him right now. Now, does that for sure mean that he's ever going to put it all together and he's ever going to be that impactful baseball player? No, doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean that at all. But to me, it would be malpractice if you just move on from him right now without giving him every opportunity to turn into that. That doesn't mean it happens at the big league level. I kind of agree with the texter. I think he's earmarked for AAA next year. I think he would have to go above and beyond in spring training to have a job on the major league roster next year. Let's grab KC, who's given us a call. Hey, KC, you are on a Sports Open Line.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right.
Matt, I've been a Cardinal fan. I'm 73 years old. I've been a Cardinal fan all my life. In fact, I got a chance to be invited to a Cardinal camp as a player tryout. And when I played ball at Grambling State University, I tore my ACL, so therefore my baseball career was pretty much ended back then. But anyway, what I just want to say is that St. Louis fans they've been spoiled. We've been spoiled over the years, and we've been given a lot and had a lot of championship, as you can see by all the flags that fly in the stadium. And I said, so we just have to sit back and stop crying like little babies and be a little patient and let this thing work itself out. Yeah, we're going to struggle for a little bit. There's going to be times when we're going to have a little time where it's going to be a little painful. We're going to see some maybe new ball players or some young ball players that's going to struggle a little bit. I wouldn't give up on Walker. Walker's young. You know, he's got to work through some things. But we just got to stop crying out and being like little babies, because we've been so blessed over the years that now it's going to be a time when we're going to struggle. There's a lot of teams over the years that don't have it as good as we've had it. So I just want to just tell the St. Louis fans that just chill out a little bit. You know, if this thing will eventually work its way out, yeah, it's not going to be. We're not going to go into the playoffs maybe next year or maybe the year after that. But eventually, Bloom is going to get this thing together, and we're going to be back to one of the top teams in the National League, and we're going to be back in the playoffs. But we just got to stop being like little babies and crying all the time when something don't go our way.
All right, Casey, I appreciate the phone call. I do get a little bit uncomfortable with what I've seen so much over the last day, where people have said, well, I'm not showing up to the ballpark next year because Oliver Marmol's going to be the manager. Really? Really? Like, that was a cue off of something that Bill DeWitt III said, because Bill said message received in terms of fans not showing up. That got weaponized a little bit yesterday, I think, where people said, oh, you received the message? Well, Ollie's back. I'm not going to show up to the ballpark. And that, I don't try to tell fans how to be fans, but I read those messages and I just didn't love them. Chuck has given us a call. Hey, Chuck, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. So I think they received the message, and Hein Bloom doing everything he's doing is part of the message. And I'm a big Ollie fan. I thought, you know, what he did with what he had to work with, it was magic, man. I mean, he pulled stuff out of those guys when they kept taking, you know, key pieces away from him. He kept finding a way to keep us in the game and keep winning. So I'm a big Ollie fan. I can't wait to see what he does when he has some talent on the roster. That's a good thing. And I'm also stoked about what Hein Bloom has been able to do in the development stage for our younger players. And I'm curious to see what, you know, that's going to do for Jordan Walker and his development and some of the other young guys we got coming, like J.J. Weatherholt and some of the other, you know, guys that really have potential to come up here and make an impact.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Chuck. And I think you look at, in 1 year of Hein Bloom overseeing the player development system, the Cardinals have just gone up big time in prospect rankings and organizational rankings from the outlets that cover that. And nobody's winning a World Series because they won minor league organization of the year. I get that. But honestly, it's inexcusable that the Cardinals were not giving young players in the minor league system the instruction and everything else that they need to make them the best version of themselves. And the process of making that happen is already easily in place. We'll grab one more phone call this segment, then we'll get back to phone calls after we talk with Daniel Guerrero. Daryl, I've got just a quick moment for you, but you are on Sports Open Line.
Well, what I have to say will take one full minute and hopefully no more. I'm not on board with people that take a reflexively brainless reaction of no new blood, then I'm not showing up next year. However, I am speaking up on behalf of the quote-unquote geniuses, as Bernie put it, that were screaming at the radio in the numbers of hundreds of thousands when someone puts John King in, when we all know that John King was going to blow either the lead or a very close game, scratching your heads going, what the hell is this guy thinking? Now, the good news is he's like La Russa in that he can back up his decisions with data. La Russa backed up his decisions with rationale that we could follow. However, there is still something to be said about metrics being a tool and not the tool. I, and I'm sure plenty of other people, would prefer to have someone at the helm who has actually played the game. Therefore, it's a strike, in my opinion, against Hein Bloom and Bernie, that Hein Bloom decided that he didn't even need to have a cup of coffee or even a brief conversation with Skip Schumacher. That is unwarranted arrogance. That is thoughtless.
Are you a Mike Schilt guy?
I liked Mike Schilt. Again, I liked Mike Schilt because of what the sentence I used earlier. He looks at metrics as a tool, not the tool, where Marmol is the press button, the tool is metrics guy.
I would disagree with that. I don't really want to argue that right now. I disagree with that. But the one thing you said was, I mean, Ollie had a better professional playing career than Mike Schilt did.
I don't care. I'm looking at Skip Schumacher. It's a very good diversionary tactic on your part. But the fact that
I thought you were taking a shot at Ollie for having never played Major League Baseball. That's the way I took that. It's not a diversionary tactic.
I want someone at the helm who's played the game at a high level versus someone who is just who has not.
Okay, and so I get the Skip Schumacher thing, and he was a big league player and a very good big league player. But why does Schilt get the pass and Ollie doesn't when it comes to that being such an important thing to you?
Because of what I just said, I don't think Mike Schilt is as reliant on metrics as Marmol was, or is, excuse me.
Okay. You might be right. You might be right. Schilt might not be as reliant as Ollie is. I don't know if I would say reliant, but I think Ollie goes by his gut more than fans give him credit for, but I also understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to be dismissive of what you're saying, Daryl.
I have no evidence to believe that he has experiential or gut level reactions to certain situations. I think he just backs it up with pure data, and that's a shame to me.
Okay, Daryl, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the conversation as well. Thank you. Okay. We'll get more phone calls like that coming up in a while. 314-436-7900. Just in my conversations with Ollie, man, he's a lot more old school than he gets credit for. He just is. And he's somebody who, you know, coming up in all those years of being in the Cardinals organization, does he try to take every bit of information that's out there and utilize it as a tool? Of course he does. But like the iPad Ollie thing, I don't think that's fair. I just don't. But like, I always try to be understanding of people who have opposing views of mine. I do understand how people can get on that path and have that belief, even if I think it is incorrect and not true. More phone calls like that, and we'll take some more text messages and tweets after we talk with Daniel Guerrero from Post-Dispatch and STL Today. That's next. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A Graybar Sports Open Line rolls on right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Have you till about 8 o'clock tonight. The soccer showcase, city showcase. City Spotlight. There we go. I can't remember the name of shows here. City Spotlight's going to be on beginning after the 8 o'clock hour. Jen Cease. We'll talk to her a little bit towards the end of the show. But right now, happy to talk with a guy who covers the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Yesterday was one of those days where it was cool to be part of kind of the industrial media complex because so much great content came out of yesterday with the Heim Bloom press conference and everything that went along with it and the Post-Dispatch and STL Today right there in the middle of it. Great stuff from them, and hopefully you were able to take it in. Daniel Guerrero, one of the beat writers covering the team. He was at the press conference yesterday. Daniel, thanks for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Thanks for the invite.
We'll start broad and kind of narrow in. As you sat through a press conference yesterday and then the print media got some time with Heim later on in the day, what really stuck out to you about yesterday's information that we received from Heim Bloom?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like you had mentioned, it felt really much like a landmark day in the organization just because it's a changing of the guard in the front office, right, where John Mozeliak held that position for, you know, as long as he did, and now Heim Bloom takes over. And I think a lot of it just kind of felt like the start of kind of like this building back to trying to get the Cardinals to where they have been historically. Obviously, there's going to be, this focus on building this young core and seeing that rise, but also, you know, not conceding, as kind of it was put, you know, not conceding results, you know, in the 2026 season and in the years to come. So I think that definitely felt very much like, okay, kind of this is what fans and us as media should, you know, kind of expect to see from the club. Hearing from a new voice with Heim Bloom, obviously interesting just because we hadn't talked to Heim outside of last year's press conference, right, when they announced the sort of the succession plan for what was to come after the 2025 season. So, I mean, I think there was a lot of it, a lot of interesting kind of just details on just kind of how the Cardinals will operate in the years to come. Some more info just kind of on how the farm system has developed. Some info just kind of on what the approach this offseason might look like. with, you know, Bloom's first offseason now that he's the president of baseball ops. So there was a lot to take in, but definitely kind of just felt like this new voice and kind of this new landscape with the organization.
So yesterday he did the press conference, then he did some TV interviews. He talked to some of the rights holders in podcast form. He talked to John Rooney with us. I got the chance for a few minutes. And then later after that, it was my understanding that he spent time with print media. And a lot of the stuff that we've read today has come out of that conversation as opposed to the press conference that was on TV and on radio. For folks that kind of, what was that like? Can you kind of explain the dynamic of that conversation that all the writers had with him yesterday?
Yeah, it was just kind of another opportunity for us to kind of expand and kind of touch on some of the other bigger picture topics and kind of things that were talked about in the press conference. I was broadcasting, you know, up from the podium, and but yeah, so there was a lot to come out of it. I think there was also kind of a this opportunity to just kind of obviously, you know, it wasn't, you know, one-on-ones, but kind of this group setting where we're also able to kind of get to know a little bit of Haim more so than we already have. So that also was a kind of a great opportunity. But yeah, but I mean, there were, you know, a bunch of different topics touched on. I think, you know, one of the things that kind of stood out, especially with Haim Bloom really helping the Cardinals kind of overhaul their minor league system, which is a lot of what he spent, you know, kind of auditing as an advisor. And we've seen some of those changes now. That was some of the other things that we touched on, right, with kind of how he, you know, feels that, you know, sometimes prospects need, you know, some extra seasoning in AAA and, you know, not having to rush guys. You know, talked a little bit about J.J. Weatherholt and just kind of the promise that he kind of brings to the organization. Talked, you know, a little bit about just kind of how the starting pitching market might shape up in free agency and the Cardinals' approach, because there are openings in the starting rotation. And obviously that would be something up for contention with, you know, some of the young guys pushing for big league roster spots, but also, you know, sometimes you know, might need a kind of a veteran guy to kind of lock down a spot and provide you some stability in that rotation, for a rotation that could look a lot younger than it has this year.
Yeah, he made it very clear yesterday that the decisions they're making are going to be long-term decisions, but if there's a scenario where they trade Sonny Gray away, they're going to need some help in the rotation. Even if they don't, they're likely to bring in somebody for the short term. How many short term moves will they make, knowing that so much of the focus is what's going to happen beyond this upcoming season?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, just because, and I think this kind of goes back to what Bill DeWitt Jr. had mentioned during the press conference, was that in a question in regards to payroll, and that's a little bit unknown at the moment. So, I mean, that definitely kind of shapes up how the Cardinals could approach free agency, just in seeing how much, you know, they'd be willing to spend. Obviously, that's something that, I mean, depending on how the market shakes up, you know, once we get past October and free agency opens up and see which player, which starting pitchers are on the market and what kind of that market's going to command. I mean, that knowing what the payroll is going to look like, that can kind of shape that a ton. But I think the way they might approach it, I think just kind of depends on how that's going to look for 2026.
Before you were on the major league beat, you did a lot with the minor leagues. You covered the big leagues a little bit, and you still look at the minor leagues now and player development. A number of publications, when they did their most recent updated rankings, and a lot of this has to do with J.J. Weatherholt and Liam Doyle, but we've seen the Cardinals' prospect and minor league system rankings move up in a large way. How much credit goes to Haim Bloom for even the infrastructure pieces that were put in this year to allow players to more develop into what maybe they can be, as opposed to the way the Cardinals had been doing it previously?
You know, I think this is a combination of just everybody involved, right? I mean, it's not like it was an entirely new minor league developmental staff from, you know, coaches at each level and coordinators at each level. I mean, there were obviously additions, but, you know, I don't think it was, you know, solely like, okay, you know, it only happened because of this, and that's something that I think it just kind of it's really a team effort from everybody involved. You know, especially when you have some coaches and kind of coordinators that were, you know, have been around for such a long time. And when you talk to players and coaches, you know, there's always a lot of different moving parts, a lot of different people involved in their development. And as you mentioned, there was that improvement this year. And like you said, a lot of it has to do with, you know, the prominence of J.J. Weatherholt, the inclusion of Liam Doyle now in the system. I think there are a lot of guys who took a lot of steps forward this year. I mean, Leonardo Bernal is one of them, the catching prospect who had spent the entire year in Double-A and was a key contributor for that club and key in the Texas League playoffs. Another guy, Joshua Baez, comes to mind, Eshaun Henderson, another guy, a couple of breakouts this year. But yeah, but I would say that when it comes to just sort of the improvements there, I really do think it's a team effort with not just with, you know, the changes that Bloom and the people brought in, you know, in this last year have done, but all, it's just an overall, you know, team effort from the system to kind of get it back to what, it, you know, the prominence that it used to have.
He is Daniel Guerrero, covers the Cardinals for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. It's going to be a really fun offseason, and you can follow along for sure with Daniel and Derek and the great sports columnists like Lynn Worthy and Benjamin Hockman. They just do a great job at the Post-Dispatch. Daniel, we really appreciate you taking some time after a very busy last couple days with press conferences and everything, and hopefully we could check in with you a few times over the course of the offseason.
Yeah, for sure, Matt. Thank you for the invite.
You bet. Thank you. That's Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch joining us on the program. We'll jump back into your comments, your phone calls, all of that in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. If you want to chime in, you can give us a call or you can text us, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. For those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment there, and we will address that. Steve sends in a message, says, I don't dislike Oliver Marmol. Just think with Mo gone, it's time for a change. I also don't like him wearing his hat backwards on the Gashouse Gang. He isn't a kid anymore. I'm not one to chime in on fashion choices. But here's the thing. Honestly, and there are some people who dislike Oliver Marmol for other reasons, but I'm telling you, there are people who don't like him because he wears a hat backwards. There's people who don't like him because he's not always wearing the jersey, you know, the full uniform in the dugout, or has a hoodie over the top, whatever. Like that exists, and I would indicate that that's not a real reason, but I also appreciate from Steve admitting the bias there and why the bias exists. I also think Steve has the point that is this just a good time for just a clean sweep of changes? Okay, if you want to, that is a legit argument. I disagree with it, but it's a legit argument. I would argue more to the side of, you know what? Let's see what Ollie looks like with a new president of baseball operations who might do things just a little bit differently. Daryl has given us a call. Hey, Daryl, you are on Sports Open Line.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just want to comment on what's going on with everybody else. As Cardinal fans, we're really pissed. And it would have been nice to have the new management come in and make a change. And we could have saw, say, hey, they're really, new sheriff is in town. Things are changing, and would have given us hope to have something new. We're not asking for a world, you know, the best team out there, but we want to see fun baseball again. And we just not seen that in many years.
Who do you blame for that?
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of blame to go around.
So the point that I'm trying to get to here is, I assume what you're saying is you would rather Oliver Marmol not be the manager of this club. Is that kind of the point that you're making?
Well, I would have liked a solid change. You know, we've heard the same thing over and over. And we're ready for a change. If we saw that change, we would have thought, okay, there's a new sheriff in town. Something something's going to happen.
Well, I think there is, and I think we are going to see changes, and I think the big change is going to be Daryl, what would you rather? All the same players but a different manager, or a bunch of new players and the same manager?
And something like something, okay, they've got a new manager. You know, they're going to do something. We're going to see something different. To me, I don't think we felt like we've seen anything different since maybe 2000.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's I think I appreciate the phone call, Daryl. Your phone's dropping out just a little bit, so I'm going to let you go. I didn't completely hear the answer to his question because his phone dropped out. I would argue, I would contend that a roster that looks really, really different, that has the same manager, will feel a lot different than a roster that has... Wait, let me start that over. I don't know if I said that correctly. I would contend that a roster that looks very different with the same manager would play out a lot more differently than a roster with the same players, but a different man. There's been a lot of talk today about Skip Schumacher, and Skip may end up with the Texas Rangers managerial position. He already works in the organization. Bruce Bochy left. The Rangers are about to go into a mode that I think the Cardinals have already been in, where they're going to be dropping payroll and they're going to be readjusting to some things. And Schumacher's there. It makes a lot of sense to give it to Skip. He's been a major league manager, did a nice job in Miami with the Marlins. People don't want to hear this. The similarities between Skip Schumacher and Oliver Marmol are incredible. I can be a smart aleck every once in a while. When Skip was managing in Miami, I read a lot of game stories across Major League Baseball. So I wasn't like searching for this. I just happened to read just about every AP game story about every game that happens in Major League Baseball every day, so I can stay up to date with what's going on. And this wouldn't even apply now because AP doesn't use as many quotes as they did previously. But I would read the stories from the Marlins games when Skip was managing, and he would say something that was basically like verbatim something that Ollie would say, that Ollie would take a ton of grief over, and Skip saying the same thing. There may not be two individuals in Major League Baseball when it comes to managers in baseball who are probably more similar than Oliver Marmol and Skip Schumacher. It is uncanny, and they're very good friends. They think the world of each other. Were they 100% aligned? No, and I'm sure that Skip definitely challenged Ollie at times, and that was probably very good for that. But from a broad stroke standpoint of baseball philosophy, Oliver Marmol and Skip Schumacher are basically the same baseball guy, and that's so I always chuckle a little bit when there's all these people that are saying, oh, it's got to be Skip. It's got to be Skip. He's got to be the guy. Let's go to Jeff, who's giving us a call. Hey, Jeff, you are on Sports Open Line.
Good enough. I want to say that this is the first year where I've heard Ollie. I've seen him draw a lot of flack. I found the man to be articulate, intelligent, and empathetic. I think he's a big plus in a ball club. However, if you've got a new man coming in, where I work, we would get new general managers then, and they just say, a new broom sweeps clean. I would like to have seen what Yachty would bring in, that he was a catcher and he was really into the subtleties. I don't know if he would added that much. However, I'm not unhappy with Ollie staying because he seemed to be a good team leader and a big plus. And the folks behind the scenes know a lot better than those of us who are out in the crowd.
All right, Jeff, appreciate the phone call. I don't know what the future is going to be with Yadier Molina from a like philosophy standpoint, from a going through the game. Yadier Molina is one of the smartest baseball players who has ever played the game, and that is going to serve him incredibly well if he is ever a major league manager. From a strategy standpoint, the stuff that a manager does control, I think Yadi's going to be great in that area. It's a lot more to being a manager than just managing for 2.5 hours every night. And there's more than just baseball stuff. And I think the question that Yadi's going to have to ask himself if he ever really does pursue a Major League Baseball managerial job is, does he want to do all those other things? I don't totally know the answer to that question. I understand why fans love him so much, rightfully so. But there are, I think there are some questions that still need to be answered. And that's why I said earlier that I think Albert might actually be more suited to be a big league manager. Just because I have no questions about Pujols' ability, not ability, but Pujols' willingness. That's a better word. Pujols' willingness to go meet with the media 4 times a day. And that's essentially one, yeah, that's one of the many things that a major league manager does beyond managing a game. Frank's giving us a call. Hey, Frank, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm a long-time fan of the Cardinals season ticket holder. We gave up our group seats, front row, third base dugout. But it wasn't because of the performance. There were other reasons schedule-wise with the group I've got. But I just wanted to take a different perspective, more from a CEO standpoint. The budget is everything. The Cardinals have some major, major challenges. You do a great job. You guys do a great job of marketing the team. I think Chaim Bloom will, in the long run, be great. But if I'm the Cardinals, I'm going to build financial models on what happens with the different revenue streams, whether it's, you know, attendance is declining, probably going to go down again. How does that affect, you know, all the advertising revenue, the in-stadium revenue, all these different things. So, but I would throw out another scenario, because the Cardinals really maybe have one guy that could be in the starting five next year. You can argue that all day long. But some teams have five guys that are stronger than our entire starting five. So, and I know Bernie's saying we can't spend money on pitching. It's not the time. But why not build a financial model if you get a 1 and a 2, which will be very expensive and very risky? Pitching in baseball is going to get closer to quarterbacks in the NFL. Anybody with an ERA under 3 is going to make some real money. So that's just my hope. And I think, you know, one caller earlier said, you know, the fans need hope. And I'm sure they're going to make one big signing for sure. I don't know, outfielder, first baseman, third base. But the pitching is what this game's always been about. If you go back to the 47 to 63, the pitching was never good enough. Same thing after Gibson left and they got rid of Carlton, unfortunately. 70s to 82, was it? And after, you know, and it, almost every team goes through this.
Yeah, Frank, I appreciate the phone call. I got to get to break here because we're going to be done here in just a few minutes, but really appreciate your thoughts. Pitching's going to be really expensive. Pitching, you're right, and it's not just guys with ERAs below 3 that are going to get paid. It's guys who have ERAs under 4 that get big, 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 big time money. And the Cardinals would be well suited to start developing their starting pitching, because I'm not of the belief that they're going to be able to acquire it. And payroll isn't the total issue here. And I know it's outliers, but the Mets missed the playoffs with $342 million. The Brewers have the best record in the National League with $120 million payroll. The Brewers have a lot of money invested in the infrastructure side of things. Now, it hasn't won them a championship yet, and I don't think it's going to win them a championship this year, but their payroll is not end-all, be-all. And you know, the Cardinals' payroll this year was more than the Brewers. So it's not that they're not spending enough money. They need to spend money more in a more intelligent kind of way. Last break. Come back. Wrap up the show. That's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up. Just a couple minutes left in the program. Good Cardinals conversation. We're tomorrow night. Super short show. We have Thursday Night Football, so we'll be done at 6:30, so just 6 to 6:30. But then Friday, we'll pick up this conversation. I'm enjoying this conversation. We're going to kind of organically do this as long as we, I feel like we need to, as the calls and everything and the text come in, just the reaction to the Heinblum press conference. We got lots of time, so we'll continue that. So Friday, looking forward to having more fun, spirited conversations. Appreciate everybody. Whether you agree with me or don't agree with me, definitely appreciate everybody getting in here with the calls and the texts and the tweets and everything. Our good friend Jen Cease is here. She's going to be up just after the 8 o'clock news with City Spotlight. I couldn't remember the name of your show earlier, but it came to me.
Well, last year we called it something different.
I know.
So we keep changing the name. I can't either.
What's coming up on the program tonight?
Yeah, so I'm really excited. We're going to visit with a young lady named Hope Berkey. I'm going to find out if she's related to Roman Berkey. She's actually a staunch City fan that's in Wisconsin. She's created her own little show called The Berkey Breakdown.
Huh. Like, I'm so in, we're at in Wisconsin.
I think she's Madison.
Okay.
But I'm going to find out more. Kind of watching her on socials, and I'm just so impressed by somebody being brave enough to do that at such a young age. We'll talk to Dale as we always do. The player profile is Mekhi Joyner. So he's having himself a time. He's running for the Golden Boot in MLS Next Pro. And then we'll finish out with Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, talking all things soccer.
For people in Wisconsin, there's an MLS team in Minnesota, right? Yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I was trying to think. Are we the closest non-Chicago team to people in Wisconsin?
Yeah, no, Minnesotans
but no, Minnesota's closer.
They're very passionate fan base. Yeah.
Well,
because we got Devin Padelford and Sangmin from there.
If you are in Wisconsin and you have an anti-Chicago bias and an anti-Minnesota bias, then St. Louis would probably be the closest after that.
Yeah, I'm going to find out how that all came down.
That's interesting.
You got to know about the last name, so I'm going to ask.
Okay, very good. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. We'll get the 8 o'clock news with Michael Calhoun, and then Jen will be with you talking all things soccer for the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks so much for being tuned in with us tonight. That's just about going to do it for the program, and we'll be back with you tomorrow for a half hour. Well, first for the rush hour at 5 o'clock, and then a half hour of Sports Open Line tomorrow night leading to Thursday Night Football here on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.